Are you a pastor or leader who wants to make a difference? Are you willing to commit to the long term in your ministry? Come along on a journey of endurance with Alan and Trent. Welcome to Endure, building churches and leaders that last.
Well, thanks for joining us today on the Enduring Churches podcast. And, you know, we've kind of gone through a period of time where we've had some interviews, and Trent, we're back to just us.
Well, and that's a good thing. I like just us. I'm comfortable with just us.
Well, we get to say more that way, right?
That's true. If you can tell me to shut up once in a while, you'll get to say more.
But anyway, you know, we as we come back, we think about enduring churches. We certainly want churches to thrive and endure. But all across America, there's a dynamic in, especially in some small communities where their communities are drying up, and those churches are kind of in a process of decline because of the demographic changes. And it certainly happens in cities as well. But you and I specifically can draw pictures in mind of communities we know that are just kind of shriveling up all across, especially in the Midwest landscape.
That's true. I read recently where, you know, in our country, in the U.S., it used to be in the last 40, 50 years that 90% of the population was involved in an ag econ kind of thing. And so there were small farms, a lot of farms spread out, and people were spread out. But now it is 1% of the population is involved in agriculture. And so, you know, those people are joined in larger cities, metroplex areas. And so what about those little towns that are scattered everywhere and those little churches in those little towns? How are they faring?
And the reality for many of them is that they are in maybe what we would call a death pattern. And we'll kind of come to that in a little bit. But we want to talk today to specifically, you know, if you feel like you're in a declining community, we're going to encourage you, maybe even discourage you, but hopefully come back to more encouragement, you know, at the end of that. And you know, we want to walk alongside you in this process. And so we've got a few statements today, and we want to kind of jump into those and talk to you about those things. So if you're in that place where you feel like you're pastoring a declining demographic, we want you to kind of think about these seven statements that we have today in that situation. And here's the first one. Is it a factual decline or just an apparent decline?
Yeah, Alan, as we think about that, sometimes, you know, we need to do some looking around. We got to get out of our church, and look around our community, do some driving around and see what are the real demographics and, you know, what is happening to our community? Is it declining truly, or is it just our church that's declining? And so I think it's important for us to look, you know, take a look at what's actually happening.
You know, one of the neat things today is it's so easy to get some demographic studies and recognize, you know, you can compare, you know, we're coming up on 2020. So there's going to be a lot done with censuses and information. There'll be a whole lot more information, but you can go out and you can look at the census from 2000 and then 2010 and look at your present situation. You know, is your community really declining? Is it flat? You know, is it maybe even growing a little bit? You know, some communities actually kind of surprise themselves that, oh, wow, our community is not declining. It just feels like it is because of the changing nature of the landscape. And so, you know, that's the first thing. Do you have facts to back up the decline in demographics?
Right. Well, and, you know, sometimes too, it may seem as if it's declining because of the nature of business in our small town. If you drive around a lot of small towns and you drive down the main street and you see these, you know, old building after old building boarded up, and then you would get the impression sometimes that maybe there is a total decline, but that may not be the case because people's shopping habits have changed to online versus in stores locally too. So you kind of got to be aware of all this and put it all together. And this is an area that I know that Alan and I would love to help you in as well.
You bet. Well, here's the second thing, Trent. Tell me what you think about this. Have you ever noticed this where people might not recognize the reality?
Yeah, it's kind of sad sometimes. We don't want, I guess maybe we don't want to admit the reality is a lot of it. You know, I think it, deep in our hearts, we know what's going on. And there may be some that they're just in their rut so much that they don't recognize it. But I think a lot of it has to do with not wanting to admit the reality of the decline. What do you think about that? Have you seen it to where it is people not recognizing it?
I think some of that people go, oh, I didn't realize that that had happened, or, you know, I didn't realize it was in that bad of shape, or, you know, you just kind of let things go long enough and you just kind of get used to it. And that certainly happens to people, that you just kind of get to a point where you get used to so many people moving out, but you think that you just assume that people are moving in and you don't, and you never realize that they're not, you know, that there's more and more vacant houses. There's more and more boarded up windows. The business has left town and it took all the jobs with it, or whatever. And there are people, oh no, this is how the town's always been. Yeah, probably not.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. And our community is, there's a lot of transient families that are in and out all the time. And so it's, sometimes it's like stapling Jell-O to the wall, right? It's hard to understand really who is here, you know, and it depends on the type of community. Again, if it's a area where there's a lot of, like we have a lot of oil and gas work in our area, and that comes and goes. And then there's agriculture as well. Manufacturing, a whole nother deal on that too. So looking at the businesses that are there and seeing how they're doing kind of gives you a better grip on that reality.
You know, and I think that too, you know, when we talk about the demographics on the first side, you need to know if it's really happening. And the second side is you need to have cold, hard facts to give to people in your church. You know, if they, you know, you're a pastor and you're coming in and a church has had a lot of success, and then, you know, you feel like you're having success, but the numbers are going down. There could be a reason for that. There's just not as many people. You know, I think about the first church I pastored in Southwest Oklahoma. You know, in the 60s, there was a just this, you know, the community was thriving. There was a school there. And the reality was, is that while we were in that community, our attendance was never going to be what it was in the 1960s. You know, there just weren't as many people in that community. And so, you know, it's important to help people see the reality. Now, I was fortunate that church saw the reality and had plans to take care of that. But that's a really important thing. Back up what you know with cold, hard facts. And those are pretty hard to dispute.
That's true. And then that helps the people in your church to be able to make a wise decision and to pray right about, you know, hey, God, this is reality. Now that we know it, we're responsible for it. So it's good for them to understand what really is going on, not just, well, I feel like this is what's happening. Give them, like you said, Alan, some good, cold, hard facts. Some statistics that can be proven out, and you'll be able to have a good conversation then.
Well, how about this for the third one, Trent, that most declining communities are aging communities?
I think that is pretty accurate. I have family in a lot of smaller areas, and if you go to the local churches, you will see this to be true, that not only is the community aging, but the church is aging as well. What do you think, Alan? Have you seen this to be true?
Oh yeah. There's a lot of orange curtains, you know, yeah, in churches, and orange carpet and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, again, that's a reminder of days gone by and of the past. But the reality is that many of these communities, as the kids left, they went to college, they got whatever education, and then they moved to a urban or suburban hub to go to work, and they did not come back. And that was a change that happened, you know, in the 20th century. I mean, people used to follow whatever their family did, and they would live in the same area. And of course, that all changed. You are not super close to, at least locationally, to your family. The same's true for us, and that's pretty common today. That there's distance, and where are most people living? They're living in larger cities today.
Yeah, that's true. And people are used to and okay with traveling a long distance to go see their family. And what you mentioned about kids getting their education and not coming back, that is really true in the farming community. There are less and less, fewer and fewer of those kids that went off to receive their education are actually coming back and taking over the family farm. Very few of those are actually coming back to the farm.
And it doesn't make sense for a lot of them to come back. And, you know, if that family had the old appliance store or the hardware store downtown, it really doesn't make sense to come back and own that business for them as well.
A lot of those businesses or farms or whatever can't support another family, right? So they don't have a choice. And so you do have it just because those kids are not there. You have your demographic of your town and your area is getting older just because there's no youth replacing it.
So these first three are kind of like, these are kind of the ones that you kind of need to just recognize. This is real world stuff. This is just what goes on. But here's where we kind of want to start kind of twisting this more to the leadership side of all of this. And here's the fourth thing, and all of us, and it doesn't matter what size church it is, it doesn't matter where it is, every single church has a lifespan.
That's true. I mean, biblically and all the way into our day and time, the churches have birth, growth, and then decline and death. And so, you know, after you have a grip on reality through the demographics, you've done some study, and you've begun to have that conversation, you need to understand, and as you said, Alan, accept that there really is a life cycle. And where is your church in that life cycle?
Now, that doesn't mean that they can't spring back to life. I mean, that's one thing that's different from, you know, let's just say I go to the doctor and he says, look, if you don't change what you're doing, you're going to die prematurely. Well, I have a choice, right? I can change what I'm doing and do all the right things. But then there's the other side. The reality is that someday, no matter what I do, I'm
right,
still going to die.
That's true. And is that true, though, in churches? You mentioned that a church can spring back to life, regain a new vision for their community, and do some things differently and change. But eventually, especially if you're living in what we've been referring to as one of these, a small town, a smaller community that is dying, that's going to become inevitable for your church as well.
And you have to accept it. I mean, it's not unhealthy. I think one of the things, you know, we take that Bible verse to say that the gates of hell can't stand against the church to be something that is, oh, my church has got to last or I have failed. We're not talking about a local congregation. We're talking about the church as a whole in that situation. That there is a life and death nature to local congregations. But God's ultimate church, his called ones, his chosen ones, his loved ones, those who know him will endure in his
right.
church universal.
You know, and Alan, as we're talking about this, though, I have a picture of a friend that, he's pastoring a church with six or seven people in it. And it just breaks his heart to be the guy that's, you know, there as their pastor when this is taking place. And so it's easy for us to say, accept it, but it's a hard deal to go through as a pastor. And we understand that.
No one wants to hear a terminal mm-hmm. diagnosis ever. I mean, there's nothing really encouraging about that, but we have to accept that it's reality. And that is kind of the first step in this process, is to just accept that particular truth. And then, you know, what do we do in that moment? Really, in those moments, it becomes all the more important to love the people and then just reach whoever you're able to reach. But love becomes the primary focus of all you're doing.
You know, as you're in that position, if you're the pastor or a leader in your church and it's in that type of setting and things are declining, your church still has a ministry, right? It may not be the same as it used to be. But it still has a ministry, and that ministry is to the people that God has placed in that church that are still there. They need ministering to just as much as anyone.
You know, Trent, I think about in ministry, we have seen to and been a part of many funerals over the years. And some of those have been situations where a spouse has had to become a caregiver for maybe a long period of time to another spouse. And on the other side of that, what the caregiver learns in those moments is something that's beautiful, and oftentimes something that, if they will allow God to work in those moments, just brings him closer to the heart of God. And I think there's something that happens, you know, no one wants to be the pastor that has to be the one who's the last one out. But then again, on the other side, to know that God has taught you something beautiful about his kingdom in the process, and that you have loved people and given them the best of yourself.
Loving those people, as you know, till the end is a wonderful gift, and it's a sacrificial gift. So we look like Jesus when we do that. We were talking before we started recording today about the idea of hospice, and I worked for a hospice company for a while, and going into those homes and just being there, and sometimes just hearing those people's story was a great gift, and being able to just be there. The ministry of presence is a big deal, and it's important. So love those people. Love those people.
Well, and then, you know, we've got kind of two things, and there's two ways, you know, if you notice, let's just say there's a declining demographic, but maybe there's a chance it won't stay declining, you know, or maybe it's a declining demographic, but things look like they're going to kind of hold maybe at a certain level. Maybe you had two businesses in town and one primary business is going strong and the other one moved out, and you're going to take a hit, but you feel like you're going to survive that or whatever. You know, before you think that, oh, my church is just going to die, there are other things to consider. And I think we're in a cool age today, and this is one I'd like to encourage churches to consider, and that's to consider partnership.
Yeah, I think this is a really exciting possibility. If your church can open their hearts and minds to the possibility of helping maybe a new congregation that can't afford a building. Let me give you a couple of examples that I've seen this happen really, really well. One was a church that they had a huge facility. They were, you know, an older congregation, but they opened their facilities up to a Hispanic congregation. And those people loved on each other. The pastor loved it because he got all the Mexican food he could ever eat. It was wonderful. But that worked out really well. And then I got to visit with a church in Midtown Manhattan that they had a building. But, you know, they decided that they were going to open up, and they had several different congregations that met during the course of the week at different times, different language congregations. There was a Korean congregation, and I can't remember all of it, but there was like four or five congregations that met there. So I think that the idea of partnerships and opening up your facilities is really exciting, and I think you should consider it.
And, you know, and even beyond that, so in my history, I had a great, great, I don't know how many greats, but he was great because he was a circuit riding preacher. And, you know, and one of the things that was unique about the circuit riding preacher is that was where actually churches shared a pastor. And so, you know, that circuit riding preacher pastored several different congregations. And in a way, I think in many of our smaller areas, there's an opportunity today as well for a church to recognize and to be open to the possibility, hey, you know what? We can share a pastor, and we can still support a pastor if we're willing to share one. And, you know, I think there's other ways, you know, there's so many ways to share your building, share your resources, share your pastor.
A little bit of flexibility in your congregation will go a long ways. And that, I think that's a good conversation to have with your church family, is, are we willing to be flexible enough to let God use us in a new way?
And it's kind of one of those moments too. We talk about a chance to breathe new life. That'll breathe new life, you know? And so that is a good opportunity. Well, the other option though is to allow the church to die gracefully.
Yeah, gracefully. That's a key word, right? So Alan, how in the world do we do that?
You know, I have walked with some people through these moments of closing doors. There's just no easy way to say goodbye to something that means so much to you. And, you know, we were talking about the hospice ministry. There comes a point in time in a church's life where it is, in essence, in hospice care. And that pastor becomes more of a hospice caregiver. And part of that is to acknowledge the truth. The church is going to die. Dear church, we need to come to grips with this. There's a day coming, and you may even designate the day, but this is going to be the day of death. And I'm going to love on you, and I'm going to care for you, and I'm going to prepare you for what life without this church looks like. And that is the graceful act. It's to prepare people for life without that has been so much a part of their life and so much a part of their community for so long. And it's to show them, and it's to remind them too, that even though the local church, that local congregation has died, God's church still reigns supreme. And how do you connect people into a new church? How do you connect them spiritually?
I would say that it's a great opportunity. I think I've said this before, to listen to people's stories, to celebrate what has happened in the past in that church. Don't just be depressed about the current situation, but celebrate all that God has done in the past. Our church, Patterson Avenue in Comanche, we are over 85 years old now. And man, we take every opportunity we can to celebrate the past and the present, and we're looking forward to the future. But you may be in a situation where if your church is coming to its death date, then take some time to just talk about, hey, what did we see God do in the past? Wasn't that great? Isn't God good? And I think that it's a good opportunity to lead people in worship, to celebrate how good our God is.
And I think that makes it easier as well to celebrate what God's doing in the present. When we remember that communities have come and gone, you know, we can go into archaeology and we can find ruins in Ephesus and Philippi and all these places, and good things happen there. You know, and so we want to remember that someday we'll be archaeology as well. And God is still going to be at work, and his church is still going to be thriving.
All of these seven things that we have mentioned, we truly do want them to be encouraging. I understand the situation may be discouraging, but one of the best things we can say to you is, hey, you're not alone. Other people are going through the same type of situation, and God's still great. God's still working, and you still have a ministry. And so we want to encourage you. We're going to make these notes available to you, at least the seven statements available to you on our website. And again, Alan and I would like to offer to you the opportunity to walk alongside you, to help you to get some more information about your area and your church, and help you to make some decisions and have a conversation. So you can always contact us at enduringchurches.com.
Well, just remember, every church, great or small, has a life cycle. And so, you know, remember, rejoice when things are good. But remember, too, for every good day you're having, there's a pastor out there who's having a pretty rotten day with that. So keep them in your prayers. Remember, especially in our small communities all across America, that there's a lot of this going on. Well, we want to thank you for joining us today. Thanks for being a part and a faithful part. It's great to see our number of downloads has increased, Trent. It's kind of exciting. And so I hope you'll join us next time when we get back together to help you and your church endure.
Thank you for spending time with Trent and Alan today. Please share your email with us at enduringchurches.com so we can let you know about our next podcast. Trent and Alan are also available to consult with you and your church. If you have found this podcast helpful, please let your friends know. Remember, churches and leaders that endure have eternal impact.